I want to again ask for your prayers. And I want to ask you today to pray that the Lord will help me to proclaim His word boldly. I don't want to hold back anything. I just want to try to preach what the Lord has placed upon my heart. And I want to ask the church for your prayers in that way. I want to speak today primarily to those of you that are here today that have not been saved. And I don't have any desire to tickle your ears. I don't have any desire to make you feel good about yourself, because your lost condition ought to be bothersome to you. And it ought to be very troubling to you. And I just want to speak to plainly to you today from the scriptures, the things that the Bible tells us await those that are not saved. And I want to begin today in the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, and read some scripture beginning with verse 42 and read through verse 48. Mark chapter 9, verses 42 through 48. The title that I want to use today is Being Cast Into Hell Fire. Being Cast Into Hell Fire. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And in those places there, those three places through this these verses that I have read, where Jesus said, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, he was actually talking there about the fact that in hell the fire is never quenched. It continues eternally to burn. And so this is the hell that I want to talk to you about today, the hell of fire, or hell fire, or the fire of hell, as it's referred to, I believe, at one place in the scriptures. I'm not here today to talk to you about hell, Hades, or Sheol, that is often having reference to the place of the departed dead, or death itself. That's what the Bible was talking about there when it says the prophecy there that thou should not leave his soul in hell. That was talking about in the place of the dead, and sometimes the word hell is used that way. But what I want to talk to you about today is the Gehenna, the hell of fire. And I want you to think about that with me. That hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is everlasting. It never is never, ever quenched. And Jesus in these verses, and I want to tell you that I don't believe that he was telling people to literally maim themselves. You know, you cannot get to heaven by plucking out your eye. You cannot get to heaven by cutting off your hand or cutting off your foot, because it's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. But I believe the teaching here is that we are not to allow anything to stand in the way, anything to get be between us and God. And I will say this, and I've never been backwards about saying this, and I want to make sure that I'm understood here today and what I'm saying. I don't believe that Jesus was telling anybody to go and to, you know, literally, physically harm themselves trying to get into heaven. But I'm going to say this, if you had to lose an eye, or if you had to lose a hand, or if you had to lose a foot, if you had to lose one of these body parts to make it to heaven, it certainly would be worth it. It would be a small price to be paid to make it into heaven. And so is anything that you have to forsake, anything that's standing between you and God, that you have to forsake in order to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I want to assure you that it's going to be well worth it to turn away from whatever that is and turn to the Lord and place your trust in Him for the salvation of your soul. Now listen, those that are lost and in their sins and continue lost and in their sins are headed for a terrible, terrible eternal fate. And there are people in the world today, I want you to know this, because it has been this way for a while. This is the way. Some of you may have read about a man by the name of D.L. Moody, and this is exactly what he wanted. This is what he, when he began what I believe was, when he began to promote what I believe was a watered down way of salvation and not really the true gospel at all, but he felt like that these sermons on hellfire and on the wrath of God and these hellfire and damnation sermons that people have called them through the years, that those ought to be toned down, that those things shouldn't be preached the way they had been preached. And I'm going to stand here before you today and tell you I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that we ought to preach the truth of the Word of God. And sinner, I believe that you ought to hear what's waiting for you if you fail to repent of your sins and place your trust in the Lord. You need to know the eternal destination, that eternal place where you are headed if you fail to get right with God. Because listen, for anybody to try to ignore that, for anybody to ignore thinking about hell or, listen, let me tell you something today. If I stood before you today and refused to preach this sermon, even though the Lord placed it upon my heart, if I stood before you today and thought, I'm not going to go preach that hellfire damnation sermon before them today, that would not change the fact that there is an eternal hell that is waiting all of those that don't get saved. You know, it's a place that's real. It's just as real as Bowling Green, Kentucky. Heaven is just as real as heaven. That place that the Bible tells us that God made, and we'll talk about these scriptures here in a little while perhaps, but that place that the Bible tells us that God made for the devil and his angels, it is just as real as the place where he made for his people to dwell when this life has come to an end. And so you need to avoid that at all costs. I'm talking to you, as I've already said, I'm talking to you today about the hell that the Bible speaks about that burns with unquenchable, unending fire. I'm talking about the place that was spoken of in the 20th chapter of Revelation in verse 15 there. I'm talking about the place that was spoken of in the Scriptures where the Bible speaks about the day of judgment, and it says that the books were open and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And then it says another book was open, which is the book of life. And it says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what I'm talking about today, being cast into hell fire, being cast into that lake that burns with unquenchable, unending fire. Isaiah spoke about it. I'm convinced that this is what Isaiah was speaking about. You see, hell was spoken about throughout all the Scriptures. It was spoken of in the Old Testament. It was spoken of in the New Testament. It was spoken of in the very last book of sacred writing. And it is spoken of throughout all the Scriptures. And as I said, I'm convinced that this is that it's what Isaiah was speaking about in Isaiah 33:14 when he made this statement and when he asked two questions. And I want you to think seriously about these questions here today. Isaiah 33:14 says, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites." Listen, here's the two questions. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? You know, today we are compared to the number of people that there are here on this earth, we are a very, very small congregation gathered here this morning at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. We make up just a very, very small part of the population of this world. But I wonder today, who is sitting among us here today that has the wrath of God abiding upon them because of their lost condition? Who is sitting among us here today that is headed for a place of eternal torment and eternal destruction? I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost and without God, you better consider those questions. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who shall dwell with everlasting burnings? If you're lost and without God, you need to think about that. Church, we need to think about those questions today. Who is here among us today that is living in danger, that is living in danger of eternal damnation, that is living in danger should they die in this moment? They're living in danger of being cast forever into the awful place that the Bible calls hell, where Jesus said their worm never dies, the fire is never quenched. I'll tell you what, it's not like any fire. I see people all the time making statements where they compare hell to fire that we know here, or to heat that we know here. But it's not the same. I remember when my wife and I were in Virginia, we did mission work there for a while in Roanoke, Virginia. And I remember one summer, it got extremely hot that summer. It was really hot. And I remember a church over there that they put up on their sign, they said, hell is hotter. But let me tell you something, the heat that we were having there from the sun that was causing us to have such a hot and a humid summer, that's nothing like what hell is. And there's no fire on the earth that's like hell. I'll tell you one great difference that I find in the Scriptures. The fires that we have here on earth, you go out back to your fire pit and you put some wood in there and you light a fire. And one of the things that fire will do, not only will it put off heat, but it'll put off light. But I'm going to tell you, this fire that the Bible speaks about, this unquenchable, unstoppable, never-ending fire that's burning in hell, it's not putting off any light. There is no light in hell. I believe that Jesus was talking about a black flame It burns, but it doesn't light up anything. It torments, and you don't even see it. There's no light in that place. Hell is referred to as a place of outer darkness. All the light will be in heaven. And Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus will light that place up from one end to the other. He will illuminate, he will shine so brightly in heaven, he'll illuminate that place that there's never any darkness in heaven, but there's no light in hell. Why? Because God is absent from that place. That's why there's no light there. God's light is absent. God's love is absent from that place. Oh, sinner, listen. Listen to me, lost friend. You have a great opportunity today. You have a great opportunity before you today. You have the opportunity today to seek the Lord about your lost and ruined condition. You have the opportunity today. I think sometimes we think about how awful it is to be lost, and certainly that is an awful condition. But let me tell you something, friends. If you're here today and lost, things could be a lot worse with you. You could already be gone from the world and already experiencing the torments of that awful place. If you are living today, you have a great and grand opportunity before you. You have the opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins, to place your trust in Him, and to be saved by His grace. And I'm not talking about what so much of the world offers today about this repeat after me type of salvation. I'm talking about seeking the Lord and having a real experience, a genuine experience of salvation in your heart. Thank God for heartfelt salvation. Boy, I was thinking about mine this morning. I was thinking as I was driving to church today, I was thinking about the time that the Lord saved my soul. I was thinking about that time when I was kneeling before Him and calling upon the Lord. I mean, I was in so much trouble and so much pain. I mean, I had never experienced anything like it. Scared to death. I mean, I was experiencing the greatest fear I'd ever known. I knew I was lost. I knew I was separated from God. I was down on my knees there that night. I was crying out to God. I mean, I'm not ashamed to tell you that I was begging the Lord to save my soul. I was crying out to Him in a loud voice, and I'm not saying that you have to do that. I'm telling you that's what I was doing. I was crying out to the Lord in a loud voice. Tears were running down my face. I was scared to death. My knees were pinned tight to the floor, and I was just begging God to save me from my sins. And all of a sudden, He did. He saved me and gave me peace. And I can't really explain to you today what that was really like, but I can tell you that it happened. Some people would say, well, how'd you know? Well, I knew. I just knew. God let me know. I remember jumping up off the floor and saying, He did it. He saved me. And He let me know that He was saved. And lost friend, that's what you need today. You need that experience that happens between you and the Lord. You need to be born again. That's the only way that you're going to escape the eternal torments of the world of fire and outer darkness. In the 91st Psalm, verse 17 tells us this: the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now you can sit here today and you can say, preacher, I'm not wicked. I'm not wicked. I'm not a wicked person. You know, I haven't done this or I haven't done that. I'm not out running around drinking. I'm not out running around stealing. I'm not a wicked person. I mind my own business. Let me tell you something. If you are lost and in your sins, you are what the Bible calls the wicked. The wicked. You're lost and you're separated from God. You have offended the God that created you. And you need to turn to Him, and you need to repent of your sins, and you need to place your trust in Him and be saved, because the wicked are going to be turned into hell. That's what the Bible says. The wicked will be turned into hell, and all of those that forget God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Now, I don't know how you feel. I don't know what scares you. I don't know what your fears are. But Jesus said this. He said, don't fear them which are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. You fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I hear people say, and I don't mean to make fun of anybody or anything like that, but I hear people say that, you know, God doesn't send people to hell. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. The Bible, I believe, proves that God sent people to hell. I've heard people say God doesn't send people to hell, they send themselves. Well, listen, if you fail to repent of your sins and you trust and fail to place your trust in the Lord and be saved, certainly it's going to be your fault. It's going to be to your account. It's going to be because of that you miss heaven and wind up in hell. But listen, if you fail to get right with God, He will absolutely condemn you to hell eternally. He will send you there. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus spoke about His coming. He spoke about the time that the Son of Man is going to come in the clouds of heaven with the holy angels in all of His glory and all of His power, and He's going to gather before Him all nations, and He's going to begin to divide them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He's going to divide the saved from the lost. And He's going to say to those that are saved, those that He places on the right hand, He's going to say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And He's going to say to those that are lost, to those that He places on the left hand, He's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I'm telling you, the day is coming when the Bible says that Jesus will gather all of the population of the earth, all that have ever lived on the earth. He's going to gather them all before Him. He's going to send His children to heaven to be with Him eternally. He's going to send those that failed to get right with God. He's going to send them off into everlasting torment, prepared for the devil and his angels. God's in control. God is in control. We have an account. I want to get this in before I finish. We have an account in the Scriptures. Jesus gave us an account. It wasn't the only account, but it was, I believe, the most detailed account. I believe the Bible makes it plain to us that Judas Iscariot went to hell. I mean, I'm convinced that that's exactly what the Scriptures tell us. It tells us he was a devil, tells us that he went to his own place. But in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus spoke about a certain rich man, and He spoke about a certain beggar named Lazarus, who was very destitute, very poor, begging the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, body full of sores, dogs coming around licking his sores, and the rich man fared sumptuously every day. The beggar died. Lazarus died and was buried, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The beggar died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And he began to, he could see Lazarus afar off, and he began to want mercy. He began to want mercy. You know, I was thinking about that scripture this morning. I was thinking about how that oftentimes we talk about that, we preach about that, and the words that we use, even the way that we speak, don't nearly tell the story about what was happening with that man. He began to pray that Lazarus would just be sent, that he would just dip the tip of his finger in water and be sent to place it on his tongue and cool his tongue, because he said, I'm tormented in these flames. And we try to present that to you, but I want you to know something. That rich man, no doubt, when he cried out, he was not casually speaking that. He was begging, and he was just, you know, he was pleading, oh, please, please be merciful enough to me. Please send Lazarus that he may just, you know, dip his finger in water and just place a little water in my tongue, because I'm so tormented in these flames. I'll tell you what, those that have made the statement that they don't believe hell is a place of literal flames, I don't know what they do with that scripture. That man said, I am tormented in these flames. You ever heard somebody say, when a preacher preached, you ever heard somebody say, I shared this recently, you ever heard somebody say when a preacher preached about heaven, they say, oh, he preached heaven sweet. I'll tell you what, he didn't preach it anything like it really is. We just do the best we can. You ever heard somebody say, boy, when that preacher preached hell, man, he could preach it hot. I guarantee you, there's never been a preacher that preached hell what it's really like. There's never been a preacher that preached it as hot as it nearly is. Friends, I'm telling you today, I realize in this sermon today that I can't really tell you how awful that hell is. But I hope that and pray that the Lord will use it today, that it'll be enough to pierce your heart and to cause you to turn to the Lord and seek Him, that you may escape Gehenna, that you may escape. You know why it was called that? It was called that because it was named after the Valley of Hinnom, where they actually did burn. There was a fire there in the Valley of Hinnom that actually burned all the time. It was a garbage dump. They would go there and they'd burn their garbage. They would burn carcasses there, and it just burned and burned and burned. Of course, it wasn't an eternal fire. Hell is an eternal fire. Eternal flames. Eternal torment. Eternal damnation. Eternal. Listen, the worst part. Eternal. Eternal. Everlasting separation from God. From His mercy. From His love. If you're lost today, knowing that hell is waiting you, can you really push the Lord away? Can you reject Him knowing what's waiting you? You know what? I believe this. I truly do. I believe there are people here today that are convinced. You're convinced that in your present condition, you're headed to hell. I believe there are people here today that believe that, you know, preacher, I'm on my way to hell. in the condition that I'm in? Can you really push the Lord away and reject Him, knowing what's waiting you if you leave this world in your lost and ruined condition? Let's have a song. I'm going to tell you the honest truth today. And God knows my heart. God knows my heart. I'm not lying before you today. I'm not lying before God today. I'm just as honest in this as I could ever be about anything. There's been people in the world in my lifetime that have done me wrong. I'm sure that you've had people that have done you wrong. I've had people in my lifetime that have been mean to me. I've had people in my lifetime that despised me and did wrong things to me. But let me tell you something. There's not a person anywhere on the face of this earth that I would want them to go to hell when life is over. I don't want to see anybody go there. Lost friend, I don't want to see you die and split hell wide open for all eternity. The Lord doesn't want you to go there. It wasn't even designed for you. It was made for the devil and his angels. But all those that forget God, all those that fail to repent of their sins and trust the Lord and be born again, will be turned into everlasting fire. They will be cast into the lake of fire. So I want to urge you today to find peace in the Lord. Be saved before it's too late. God bless you. God help you today is my prayer. Let's stand and sing.
Number 213.